Succession number 28896, Reel 24.
Mr. Blewett, Reel 24. What was the title of the unit that you're now with?
Well, I always used to think it was 7247 or something like that, but my my friend assured me that it was still the same number, same 239 company. It had just taken the name, taken the number over when we went on the Buffalo tanks.
So you were still RESC?
Oh, yes. Yes, things, still RESC.
What about you mentioned the action with the commandos and that. Had any medals been received by any of the people?
Not at that stage, no. There was... after we'd finished with this, the more or less capitulated, I think, after the... And we were all taken to a camp, parked up in this camp. And we had to give our OC was there, and our captain, he just disappeared, maybe, I don't know, officer's mess or whatever. And because our four tanks had been actually the only ones in action on that particular split, the officer, our OC, wanted to hear our side of the story, interview with it, because it would be going in RASC records. So he started us off. The driver went in first, and then about 5 minutes he come out and he said, we all have to go in together. He couldn't think of what was happening, you know, and he said, so he goes in and he said, what happened, what are you doing? I said, well, I remember the first thing we did, we got stuck. So much for these things that were going to go anywhere, that we got stuck on the sand on the bank on the other side. I said, we couldn't get out, and I told him what had happened. And I said, then when we come back again, we had to go down the river again. And I said, we managed to get out that time and let the lieutenant out with his weasel. And so all in all... I said, well, all in all, I said, I didn't think they were as good as the ducks, I said, but... So, he said, oh, well, just... you'll be going... He said, you'll be with this lot for about another week, he said, then you'll be going back to your company, back to the duck company. So we had to take the wagon, the tanks, and just park them up. The only thing I would... was a bit sorry about leaving was the wireless. I was hoping I could borrow the wireless, but too many of the RAOC, the ordnance lot, they were there, and get them more or less account for everything. So
this would be, was this close after the enemy 88s and that
they just seemed to disappear with they were saying about them, but nobody had actually. None of our tanks had been hit. It's just as well, because they would have just disintegrated, I thought.
If you you must have been well up Italy by then.
Oh, yes, right up the top end. Because when we got up with these tanks and had to just leave them in the field, just left them, and we had to go back to our... One or two of the ducks took the whole lot of back to the took company.
And had the Germans finished the war then?
Yeah, surrender? More or less.
So you're into me.
There were the partisans. What had happened was the partisans had done a good job, and they more or less overcome the fascists and whatnot. That got Mussolini, killed him, strung him up in the marketplace. In Milan, and everywhere we went, when we got the ducks, and we were going to a place called Mestre, just outside Venice, where we were again parked up waiting for somebody to make the mind of what we were going to do. In the meantime, one or two, the war as such was finished, and they let one or two of us into Venice. When we went in, it was all, the partisans were ruling the roost there. There was no Germans, there was no Italians, soldiers. And they were ruling the roost. You know, they were the head lads. They'd rounded them up, and there was a prison over on the Lido, and they'd got them all in there. So when we just had a sort of mooch around and went back to the company. And then we were in Mestre for about a week. And then they got the idea of sending us over into Venice, onto the Lido. We had a camp there, so that caused quite a sensation when we... Previous to that, the only vehicles they'd seen in Venice was these little jeeps, which commandos and whatnot, and the Americans had up and down the steps. But we were the only vehicles as such.
The ducks.
The ducks that went into Venice. They were amazed, you know, every time. One or two of them had to come out of the water up the steps in St. Mark's Square, and there was crowds of round to look at them and pointing at the propeller and all that. Amazing, the thought of it was a great thing. It was a duck. And when they see you've disappeared down the water and out again and chug, chug, chugging away. And we went across to the Lido, where we had to make the first lot at the ballast and whatnot down the side, so we could make a bit of a landing place to get out. And then we were...
Where were you camped there? Were you in buildings?
Oh, yes, we were in buildings there. It was a usual thing. Go and find yourself a house. Well, the officer had been, and they'd got, you know, the house and whatnot, and that HQ and everything. And then we were just packed up with the ducks while they were deciding. Then that's when somebody got the bright idea of the leave camps all over, all nationalities. They just took over all the hotels in Venice. And then once they got sorted, we had to go and take rations. These ration dumps used to spring up, and we used to go down with a representative from the Australians, New Zealanders, Indians, all sorts. And they were all, took all the best hotels, and we used to go down and with one of their reps down to the dumps, pick the stuff up and go take it back up there to feed the people on leave. Of course, there was usual Americans used to field bakeries and God knows what not on the Lido. All in all, they more or less took over as usual. But as far as the ducks were concerned, we had the... They didn't have the American ducks that left them, and so we were the only ones up there in the, up and down the Grand Canal. We're getting.
And this is your usual duties, carrying supplies.
Usual duty supplies, but in this case it was just rations all the time. There was nothing else.
So. Did you get involved in any black marketing with the Italians?
Oh. Everybody wanted petrol off you. Everybody. And the thing was that. Used to go the motorboats and that in Venice, and anything, the little boats, ships, everything had to be bought on the water, and there was all sorts, and they made some agreement with the town major that could get so much issued, but there was always somebody wanted a bit more than what was issued, you know. I forget what the going rate was at the time, but, I think it was about 200 lira, which it just changed overnight. I think 200 lira was for the pound, and then it was just changed overnight that the our money, it was just like more or less doubled, which was didn't put us on a par with the Yanks, but it made it better, like, you know.
Did you get involved yourself in this contraband?
Yeah, with the got? When we got on the Lido. Even though there was buses running about, like I say, there was taxis as well, and the taxi men, they were always sniffing around, like, so you'd always get a couple of tins from the dump and put them in the back, like, drop them off, get your money, and back. There was all sorts, they'd want uniform, when I say uniforms, like KD trousers and things like that, shirts. By this time, of course, we'd organise a bit of a laundry. But it was better if you could get one of the civvies to do it. At least you'd get your own shirts and stuff back. If you did it before, you'd send it to like a laundry, and coming back, it's not the same. So we used to try and get civvies to do it. Dobian.
What state were the Italian civilians in? Were they feeding pretty well? Were there problems with that?
No, they. Well, I'm saying they were feeding well. I think we were feeding better than them. Plus the fact that these where we were, our house, and we had a car park at the back of it. And then there was the prison where all the fascists is, and the partisans were looking after them, and they had a golden rule. Their relatives were allowed to come up to the prison to visit them, but if they didn't bring them any food, well, they didn't get fed. It was as easy as that. So obviously the women folk of the prisoners, they was always on the scrounge for anything that they could get off you to take in for them. Plus the fact that when they took them up, the partisans were getting the pick first. What was left was given to them.
And what would you get in return for giving them, food?
Well, you could get sex, or you could get... some of them had bits of jewellery, like, that you could... It wasn't that they were starving, but they wouldn't be averse to taking any of your grub, like corned beef and stuff like that. They used to lop it up. But the Yanks, they got a bakery going, so everybody was eating well as far as bread was concerned. The days of the biscuits and hardtack were long gone.
Have you any other memories of Venice?
Any what?
Any other memories of Venice?
To start with, I thought it was great. I still had a fancy for the rough, and there was a little aerodrome on the island. It wasn't no passenger flights or anything like that. It was just for little American, and I got friendly with this Yank, and he'd brought a. When we were up at the aerodrome one day, and he was on about bringing this officer, he was, or something, more to do with the press than anything else. And I said to him, there any chance of a flight? Flip up, you know, just to go up and round. Yeah, he said, be all right. He said, have you got any juice? And what we had for the ducks, the petrol, was all right for him with his plane. So I went back, I got a couple of tins, went back up again, filled it up, and I'd just got the duck out the road. And I was all ready to get in for my trip up. And here's this bloody officer comes from the wherever he'd been, and he said, sorry, mate. He said, oh, I didn't get my trip up. He got his couple of tins of petrol and all. I don't think he'd be bothered about that. But I never got a trip up. Although I tried it with the RAF and all. We used to go to these aerodromes. There was mosquito bombers were still on the go up there. I can't remember where it was. But I remember there was a bit of fiddling going on there. Cheap wheels and things like that. And I was a quartermaster, and he'd come and he said, I want to, I don't know, just come along to the office. I just happened to be there. Do you fancy a trip up to the this aerodrome? I said, taking somewhat up. And I said, yes, took it up. And when we got there, I found that he'd been flogging the quartermaster, cheap wheels and whatnot. He had about four. And I said to this one of the pilots, I said, again, I said, is there any chance of getting a trip up there? He said, well, I don't know. I said, I suppose you can be all right. He said, we're just going out on, like, reconnaissance and things like that. He said, but we always go out early in the morning. I said, what time? Oh, he said, it'll be about 6 o'clock. I said, if I'm up here tomorrow at 6 o'clock, yeah, he said, it'll be all right. He said, he'll put you in. Maybe, I don't suppose it for a minute, but I was too thick to see it. So next morning, I was up bright and early. I was up there. They just went by me as though I didn't exist. They just, you know, so I still never got my triple.
You'd be designated as a waterman, was it?
Yeah, we were drivers, and then when we got these the tanks, waterman second class. And that's what I was demobbed as, a waterman.
Yeah. How long was it before you were sent back home for demob? Do you remember the dates or time?
I remember one incident in Venice when it was snowing, and everybody was saying they'd never seen snow. I said, oh, well, it's sure to snow where the bloody British are. Just come around there. But I got a month's leave first before I was actually demobbed. I can't remember. I've got it down in the book somewhere. And I come home on leave, and as it happened, there was three of the original that joined up together. Like, well, one was in Germany, like, but we all got back, so we had a bit of a good a month. And that was where I met my wife to be. So we corresponded, and
was there much of a and your reception when you got home
well,
the first time for so many years?
It was 3.5 years abroad when we got back, and when we pulled into the railway station, down the railway station, I'd corresponded with the family, and there was a lad at the bottom of the street. He had a car, and he used to get a ration of petrol or whatever. And they'd been up twice, three in different times or whatnot. And my sister, two sisters, and this lad were up at the station to meet me. Now, when I got got back down to the street, the bunting and things was up and plastered along the wall at the bottom on the church side. Welcome home, Bill. 3.5 years, you know. So everybody was in bed. Well, I'm saying everybody, apart from my two sisters. And I seen this lad. I didn't know anything about petrol ration, but he said, he stepped in and said, if you can get us any petrol while you're here. Apparently, we were allowed so much, so many coupons or whatnot. So I said, I'd arrange to pay him back with this for coming up the station. So you mean. And funny enough, this same lad, when I got married, it turned out it was a cousin of the family. So funny how that happened, like.
Were you demobbed straight after you leave?
Oh, no. I had a month's leave. I had to go back. We went back to Venice. And then we were put into another... there were six ducks there, but the majority of it was water transport. There were 797 company, water transport, and that was, they were in charge of all the everything that went on the water, civilian, had to go, you know. So there was a lot of fiddling going on then. Well, while we thought we were doing well getting rid of two or three cans, that they were getting rid of bargefuls. There was one chap, I was driving this captain, and he was very friendly with one of the Nuffy. She was a captain in the Nuffy and all. And we had a little 1500 weight van, which I didn't know at the time, but it had been made up from workshops that took the body off a 3-tonner and just slugged it together, more or less. And when we were, I used to take him running around different places. I took him up to Austria when they were thinking about moving up that way. Took him up there to Innsbruck for bringing him back. And then when we were moving again down to Barry, when I say when we were moving, when I was moving, when we were told about getting demobbed, we were going down to Barry. And this chap, he used to come every time I was out in this little truck. He'd come to me and he wanted me to sell him it. I said, I can't sell you this. He could speak quite a bit of English, and I was quite going in with the Italian. And I said, no, I can't do it. What he intended to do was set up a little... maybe get about six seats in the back of this, and he was running from Venice to different. So anyway, as we were leaving, we were going over to Innsbruck, I think it was. And this Italian, and I said, no, non possibile, no possibile. And so we were going away, and this. Chatting with his captain. What's he on about there? I said, oh, he's been on to me for weeks now to sell him it. Sell what? I said, this. Why, you bloody hell, he said, why didn't you say so before? I said, not my business. He said, it's not even on the strength. He said, this was made up in workshops just for a runabout for the officers. He said, you could have. I said, ah, now you tell me. I said, if you told me before.
So where were you demobbed from?
Aldershot. It was April, I think it was.
1946. The date?
I was demobbed from Aldershot on the 10th of April 1946 as from the 797 Company Water Transport with the big rank of private after all my time in the army.
And you get your civilian suit?
We were sent we got the suit, yes, we got the suit. We didn't have much of a choice. We either got a sports jacket and grey flannels or these suits, and there wasn't a great lot of selection, but I picked a grey pinstripe suit, and you were given instructions about clothing coupons and what have you, and these petrol coupons. You were allowed them, but you had to apply for them, but as far as the clothing coupons, what were. And as soon as I got home, my sister called me. Have you got any clothing coupons? I said, yeah. I didn't realise there was no chance of me getting a suit. And so, of course, when I give her them, quite a few of them. And then I went to, when I got serious and was thinking about getting married, I went to Burton's to see about getting a suit, and I had to go and scrounge me clothing coupons back again.